Hey, what's going on, everybody? And welcome back to The White Flag. I'm your host, Jonathan, and this is a podcast to help you get off that endless treadmill of spiritual exhaustion and striving and learning how to just surrender to Jesus and adopt practices and rhythms of courageous surrender. And so really excited to dive into our episode today. I kind of want to start by asking you a question. How many of you have ever come across someone who loves journaling? You know what I mean? Like someone who really talks a high game about journaling and how helpful it is for them, how it helps them connect with Jesus, all that stuff. Okay. I think a lot of us have. And then I think what happens is a lot of us have a similar story because over time we admire these people. They're oftentimes spiritually mature people. People have a walk with Jesus that maybe we would like to emulate. And then we try journaling ourselves, and we feel like we're supposed to write like 3 pages a day or write our own psalms every day or have it be this like long, intense exercise that just makes us feel like a whole new person after every single session. And then it doesn't happen. And we then kind of over time feel that journaling just maybe isn't our thing, or we've never had an accessible model given to us to figure out like why journaling is so helpful. And so we chalk it up as just something that's not for you and I. And I think that's a story I've heard dozens and dozens of times talking with young people and old people who maybe had a mentor, loved journaling, then they tried it, they didn't really have a good model, and then they just decided it just may not be for them. And I do think there are some people that journaling just isn't for you. But I think what's more common is that there are people who remove themselves out of the game that is the spiritual practice of journaling because they just think it's not for them, when in fact, they've never had a model that was accessible that they felt like added value to their walk with Jesus, where they've never contextualized some of these practices of journaling to work with the unique ways that they're wired and the ways that they process. And so if you're someone who has seen and heard about journaling being really helpful for some people as a formative tool of encountering God, but every time you've tried it, it's just felt sort of like bleh or meh or just not something that seemed to add value in your walk with Jesus, this episode is for you. And honestly, even if you don't fall into that boat, this episode is for you. Because while there are a variety of methods that we need to experiment with in order to find what spiritual practices really help us connect with our Heavenly Father, the thing is, almost every mentor or spiritual hero of mine, and almost every successful secular person who's really prominent out in the world and is open about how they help lead themselves, almost all of them talk about journaling being a formative way that they grow themselves as individuals, as professionals, and then in our sphere, especially as followers of Jesus. And so today, I want to help you navigate the practice of journaling and finding a way that works for you so that you can connect with God and actually understand what people are talking about when you meet someone who just swears by journaling as a way that they connect with Jesus. Now, to do that, we have to call out two problems that arise a lot around, especially in Christianity, when it comes to journaling. I think number one, the problem is what I'd call the teen sitcom complex, where for a lot of us who are Gen X or Millennials or Gen Z, we've been shaped a lot by pop culture references when it comes to journals and diaries. And we've been shaped in a pretty significant way because it actually shifts what our expectations are and what we think journaling really is, because it kind of gets isolated down to being the same as a teen in a sitcom who has a diary. You know, like when you hear the word journaling, you probably think about a diary almost. And then you think about the examples of a diary that you see in pop culture, and it's like, you know, dear diary, Tommy looked at me at lunch and made me think he might ask me to prom soon. Or, dear diary, my mom and dad grounded me, now I can't go out with my friends. Or, dear diary, me and Bethany got in a fight today, now we're not sitting together at the lunch table. You know, like these are the examples that we get. And this creates a lot of issues because, number one, it almost immediately isolates half the population because of these pop culture references. Because when I talk to young men or young high school guys, this idea of keeping a journal feels almost like feminine And so then they're a little bit more hesitant to want to jump into it, or they think it's just not something that's going to help them. I mean, there's young men in our church in their mid to late 20s who've never really stepped into the practice of journaling as a way of connecting with Jesus because these pop culture references just kind of make them think it's not for them. And then another issue that comes up because of this teen sitcom complex is that it minimizes journaling to become something that simply captures the events of your life that you can then reflect on later. And what I'd argue is, at its best, journaling is not a way of capturing external events in your life. It is a way of processing ongoing events so that you can step into them healthily, successfully, and spiritually aware of what God is doing in those events. I want to say that again. Journaling is not the capturing of external events to be reflected on later. It is a way of processing ongoing events so that you can step into them healthily, successfully, and spiritually aware of how God is at work in those events. But this teen sitcom complex has sort of minimized journaling. It's minimized what it can be, and so we just kind of write it off a lot of the times. Now, the second big problem that I think comes up for us is what I said earlier, that most of us, even if we have a healthy view of what journaling can be, a lot of us don't take the time to experiment and fail and adjust what this practice could be, because we kind of take the puzzle piece of journaling, of this practice, and we take what works in the puzzle piece of somebody else's life, and then we apply it to ourselves, and then we get frustrated or discouraged when it doesn't fit the unique shape of who we are. And what we have to do is find a method that works for us. And I will say real quick before we dive in, even further, there is a temptation, you know, as I'm talking about journaling today or any number of the practices we discuss on the show, there is a temptation to incorrectly think that the goal here is to embrace the practice of journaling. And that's not true. That's not a healthy mindset. Journaling is a practice I believe in. I believe in it. I believe it can help you. I believe it can help most people. But journaling is just a means to an end. It's not an end itself. So please hear me. I want to challenge you to adopt one of these journaling methods that we'll talk about in the show as an experiment for your spiritual walk. But I want to challenge you with this because I want to help you better bring your full self to God and walk with Him and surrender to Him as He leads you each and every day. So my hope here is to help you better connect with God, surrender to Him, put down the posture of striving, and pick up that burden that is free and light that Jesus promises. That's my end goal. So the goal here isn't just to become a person who journals. It's to embrace practices that help you walk in the way of Jesus. But I think a lot of us have written off a really helpful way that we can do that, which is journaling. So that's what this episode is all about. So I want to offer you sort of three main points about journaling, sort of in light of those two problems. I want to offer you three solutions or three mental shifts that can help you step into the experimental practice of journaling as a way to connect with Jesus. And so the three movements of our time today is going to be the posture we need to have with journaling, the practice of journaling itself, and the power of journaling. I want to help you embrace the right posture as you try to journal and connect with God. I want to give you a practice that'll help you journal and connect with God. And then I want to help you see the power of journaling and why I just believe in it so much. So number one, the posture of journaling. As I said before, our posture, when we've tried to journal in the past, if you've ever done that, it's largely shaped by what we think it is, what we think it's supposed to be, what our expectations are. And a lot of us, we just kind of assume that over time, we're not journalers because it must be for those who are internal processors or just super deep spiritual people or those who want to catalog everything in their day and then reflect on it every morning or something like that. And so that is our expectation, which then informs our posture, and that's shaped by how we approach it. So what I want to encourage you to do is to adjust your posture when you try journaling sometime this week and look at it not as an autobiographical practice, but as an exploratory practice or a practice of discovery. I want you to move past some of that teen sitcom complex and not look at journaling or keeping a diary as just outlining what happened to you, but to really look at this as a practice of exploration and discovery within yourself. Journaling isn't about cataloging what's happening around you, but capturing what's happening within you. Journaling isn't about cataloging what's happening around you, but capturing what's happening within you. And if we want to give journaling a shot as a way of better connecting with God, we have to adopt a posture that enables us to see this whole practice is about exploring and discovering and then capturing what's going on within us and not just writing down things that happen to us. And the thing is, if that's our posture, then we actually give ourselves license to be messy. Our posture enables us to have different expectations. It allows us to get a little bit messy as we embrace the practice that hopefully helps us better connect with Jesus and bring our full selves to Him. For example, no one gets mad at a utility company for making a huge mess on the road when they have to dig through tons of concrete and dirt and sand to find the power lines or the cable lines or the water pipe that needs to get fixed. Like, that mess happens because it's from the necessary work of digging to find what they're looking for. And in the same way, we have to give ourselves permission to get messy and create a mess a little bit as we do the work of exploring and discovering what's going on within us. So for me, for example, my journal, if you were to look at it, it is not neat and tidy. It is not single-spaced with clean margins all in one line. It's not a term paper. You know, we kind of view journaling as like a term paper to God almost. The thing is, though, when you write a paper, it's all neat and tidy and perfect because you know exactly what you're going to say, and it's the final copy of all of your thoughts. But the purpose and the posture that we need to have with journaling is we are adopting a practice of discovery, where we are discovering what we think. We're exploring what's in our mind. We're inviting God in to move along with the inner dynamics of our spirit. And so I think my main point here is just release yourself from any need to be organized, coherent, or clean when you journal. The goal isn't to write in a way that someone would be impressed one day if they suddenly found your diary. You're not Anne Frank. I mean, I used to journal as if someone was going to read it, and I just feel like a super narcissist. But I would write ways as if I was trying to impress somebody. I'm like, no one's going to read this. Why did I write like this? Like, this isn't me. And so, you know, the goal here of journaling is to do the dirty work of processing and thinking and bringing all that to God. And through the act of prayerful journaling, you get to get clarity from God. You get to experience clarity within yourself and just know what's going on within you so that you can step into the moments of your day healthily, successfully, and spiritually aware of how God is at work. I mean, listen, the other day I was officiating a wedding up in Pennsylvania. And I had a few hours to kill before the wedding, so I go to the sports bar wearing a suit and tie because I had to be at the wedding in a few hours, but I wanted to watch some March Madness and enjoy some chicken wings. And the thing is, there may not be a worse meal to eat while wearing a suit and tie than chicken wings, like spicy buffalo wings. Like, there's sauce everywhere, there's ranch, food could fly everywhere. But that's what I did. I was like, I really want some wings, so I'm wearing a suit and tie. I'm sitting there eating hot wings while watching March Madness. And I was successful. Thankfully, I didn't get anything on my shirt, but it was like a high-stakes game, right? Like, I'm eating the wings knowing that in several hours, I'm going to be in front of hundreds of people officiating this wedding. Yes, I realize now I should have just worn a t-shirt, but I had to go straight from there to the wedding. Anyway, stay with me here. I did not engage those wings or even enjoy them quite the same had I just showed up with the right attire. Right? Like, if I knew I was going to go watch basketball and eat wings, and that was like the goal of the day, I would have worn a grungy t-shirt and some shorts and not cared if I got wings on it or on my hands or on my mouth or anything like that. Like, my posture as I engaged the wings would have been different because I knew what I was getting into. Whereas when I showed up there, I was like, oh, I guess I'll just get some food. And then I saw they had good wings. I was like, all right, I guess I'll get some wings. And I say all that because I don't want you to step into journaling with the wrong posture or with the wrong expectation. I don't want you to like tiptoe around the edges and be cautious when you journal like I had to be when I was eating chicken wings in a suit. Your posture is shaped by how you approach something. And the way you approach journaling is to know this isn't about cataloging what's happening to you. It's about capturing what's going on within you. And that's going to require some digging and moving some stuff around and being real and being messy and crossing things out and just give yourself permission to do that. That's okay. And that's the posture I want you to have with journaling. Now, onto the practice of journaling. This is where I want to get really practical. I've talked about how just writing a monologue probably isn't how you should journal. For some, it could be, but I think for many, it's not. And so what I want to do is offer you what my pastor, Carl, says is the single most helpful thing I've said to him when it comes to spiritual disciplines. And it's what him and I have come to call the 313 method. It's essentially a framework for journaling, a really practical way to journal that makes it easy to stay focused as you have to navigate that endless horizon of prayer and journaling when you just stare at a blank sheet of paper. Because ultimately, prayerful journaling is you creating space to have a dialogue with yourself and God and bringing all your thoughts before God and inviting Him to shape them and correct them and direct them. But if you just have that goal, if you have the right posture but then no like practical framework, it can be super intimidating. You don't even know what to do. So the 313 method offers you a way to invite God into the process and engage with Him and explore the inner dynamics of the soul, but in a way where you actually feel like you know what you're doing a little bit. I actually just went back and started doing this more consistently in my spiritual rhythms because I found myself aimlessly wandering around my own head in silence sometimes or just staring at a blank sheet of paper. So I was like, man, I should take my own advice and just get back to this. So that's what I did. But the 313 method has three main parts. Not shocking, all right? So number one, the three of 313 represents coming up with three things you're grateful for. And I think I've said this before, but try not to count what your three things are unless they physically make you smile or bring you a sense of joy to your spirit. And when you develop your list, just journal about what they are, why you feel grateful for them, how have you seen God work in those things. But just write down three things you're grateful for. That's the first step of journaling. Looking back at my journal, I see things as simple as being grateful for my Ember mug, which keeps my coffee precisely at 135 degrees all morning so I don't have to reheat it. And God knows, with young children, that is something to be grateful for. But other times, the things I'm grateful for are as complex and emotional and mysterious as thanking God for the rain on a day that I was grieving some things in my life. And I went for a walk in the rain, and I was just grateful to God because it almost felt as if God was crying with me as I was grieving things in my spirit. And I just thanked Him for that. But sometimes it's as simple as coffee. Sometimes it's as complex as thanking God for the rain because of the deep inner dynamics of my soul. But kick off this time with gratitude. And you've heard me talk about this before, but even secular scientists point out the benefit of making gratitude a part of your daily rhythm. So this is a great way to get started. Start with three things you're grateful for. The second movement of the 313 method is after you come up with those three things you're grateful for, write down one thing you need God's grace for. This is an act of confession. It's when you think about one specific area that you need God's grace in your life today. I try to make this a time of confession and repentance, where being rooted in the grace of God I received through Jesus, I can then shamelessly and hopefully bring my sin to God, knowing I'm forgiven, and just confess it to the Lord. So take a moment here in the second part of this journaling practice to just explore that confession. Why is that a struggle? What dynamics are at play that maybe are contributing to it? Where are you lying to yourself about that struggle? I mean, all these things kind of start to stir up when you invite the Holy Spirit into this time. And it's amazing where God will take your mind, where He'll make you get curious about something as we just step into this practice Jesus called us to do, to confess our sin, knowing that God is willing and able to forgive because of His grace and His love for us. So three things you're grateful for, one thing you need God's grace for. And then lastly, the third part is to journal three goals you absolutely want to get done that day. The spiritual word for this part I've heard used is this phrase contending prayer, where you're going to God, where you're inviting His purposes and His leadership to guide your day, and you're contending with God for the things that are of God. And so your three goals are where you write down, like, God, could you help me with these things today? I want you to guide me and reframe my purposes and help me accomplish these things. Help me be disciplined. Help me be humble. Help me be interruptible for other people today. And contending prayer can go so much bigger than this. You know, in some parts of my spiritual rhythms, I'll do step into contending prayer where I'm praying for the Ukrainian crisis or unrest in a family or civil unrest in our nation. But just to keep it simple for our purposes of journaling, you know, you can put down like contending prayer where you're asking God, you know, in light of your goals to help you accomplish them. And it could be something kind. The thing that you could write down here is like trying to be kind for your spouse or do a chore for your neighbor. It could be knocking off the list of to-dos at work. It could be finishing the proposal that you've been putting off and shipping it to your supervisor by end of day. But write down, what are the three things you know, if nothing else, if I do these three things, I will crush it today and be obedient to how God is leading me. Write those down. And then at the end, just submit all that you're grateful for, all that you've confessed, all that you've contended for God's help for that day. Bring it all under the authority of God and His plan, and then boom, you're done. That's your journal, your 313 method. Three things you're grateful for, one thing you need grace for, three goals you want to get done. It's that simple. Now, you can just focus on one of these a day if you want. You can use journaling as a way to process competing voices in your head and make pro-cons lists and just get everything that's been burdening you down on paper. You could spend a whole session of journaling just confessing, but this 313 framework just kind of gives us something to do when we feel lost, like I said, on that horizon of opportunity that comes up when we just pray and don't have clarity of what to do. But I would encourage you, pick a practice that works for you. That's one that works for a lot of people. It works for me, and it keeps things simple. Because when we do, if we are able to have the right posture and we have a practice that works for us, when we do, you'll start to experience the power of God that can happen through journaling. And it's really, you know, the power of this practice comes from the fact we're connecting with God and stepping into proximity with Him. Remember, journaling is just a means to an end. The end goal here is that you encounter the presence and power of the living God. And I just, for me, as I journal, there's a closeness to God I sense when I actually just spend time writing things down. And I think for a lot of us, if we do this, we'll start to sense God nudging and prompting, encouraging, challenging, and convicting us in unique ways because of just something special that happens when we bring our focused attention on a singular act like journaling. And I really believe in this more now than even when I used to do it in college. You know, I would just write paragraphs and paragraphs and paragraphs all the time. Very hormonal, you know, college kid. I really believe in journaling because it requires us to slow down and focus on one thing at a time. I think that's really a big aspect of the power of journaling. Because journaling is an analog practice of formation in a world of digital discipleship. Like, listen, the power of journaling is that journaling is an analog practice of formation in a world of digital discipleship. Journaling reminds you of your own humanity because you can't write 90 words per minute with a pen and paper. You can't bounce around on tabs on your computer when you journal. You know, you don't have all these notifications popping up when you just sit down without a phone, pen, and paper, and you just journal for a little bit. Journaling is almost a way in which you can shut down the tabs of your own brain and itemize things that are in your head down on a paper so that you can bring your full self to God. It gets you outside of yourself even and just helps you better have a different angle looking at yourself of what you want to do, who you want to become, and how you want to grow in the likeness of Jesus. And I just think journaling is so powerful because when you take away all of our digital appendages and force us back into the simplicity of journaling what's going on inside us, we start to tap into something that is both ancient and deeply human and deeply foreign because of how hurried we live in our modern world. And I think when you get into a strong rhythm of journaling, you'll more and more start to notice the hurried patterns of your life and the distracted operating procedures of your day, which then leads you to long for even more times of rest and stillness and quiet with God. And I'm just convinced that I'm convicted really that we aren't desperate for stillness with God right now, in part because we don't know what it gives us. And because we don't know what it gives us, we don't realize what we're missing out on. But journaling is a way by which we can start to learn how to just be still with God while still doing something, because many of us are so terrible at doing nothing. And as we do that, that simplified practice of the power of God through focal practice, we start to have like the scales of our hurried digital life fall away, and we get a better sense of what it tastes like and what it's like to experience the goodness of just being with God. And so I really think that's the power of journaling. It's not just that we're encountering God, but it's almost a practice of counterformation against those distracted operating procedures that you and I live with every single day. That's why I love it so much. I notice I operate slower, I walk slower, I'm slower to speak, I'm quicker to listen when I step into practice of journaling. So there you go. That's it. The posture, the practice, and the power of journaling. I hope you take a risk this week to give that 313 method a try. As always, I'd love to hear how God uses this, if at all. You can contact me on my website, jonathanmoynihan.com, or sliding in my DMs on Instagram, jonathan.moynihan. But I would love for you to give this a shot and just push back against that lie of, I guess I'm just not a journaling person, and really step into seeing, hey, let's find an accessible method that works, stick to it for a while, be real, get messy, and see how God draws near when you bring your full self to Him. Thanks so much for sticking it out with me. I appreciate you listening, and we'll be back next week with an interview excited for you to hear. In the meantime, be well, and I'll talk to you guys soon.